Welcome to The Roundup, where we tackle big health topics from the outback to the tropics. I'm your host, Alyssa Hatherley, a local GP and head of James Cook University's Clinical School in Mackay. In each episode, you'll hear from experienced clinicians sharing expert insights on key regional health issues, best practice approaches, and practical strategies to improve patient care in regional and rural settings. Before we begin, I'd like to respectfully acknowledge the Australian Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, their contributions to healthcare, and the traditional owners of the lands in which we practice and provide education. Today, I'm joined by Hospital in the Home consultant, Dr. David Clark. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, David, it's exciting to talk about hospital in the home because it's a relatively new concept, isn't it, in our healthcare setting?
It's definitely, I think the value is only really being fully realised now as we're constantly bed blocked and the health system is increasingly understrained. Though in Australia, it's been around for, you know, a couple of decades, just not as widely accepted and utilised as it is now.
Now, you're a GP by training. Of course, the pandemic meant that finally GPs were allowed to bill Medicare for consultations conducted over the phone. That was really a game changer, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And long overdue, if you don't mind me saying so.
Oh, I would completely agree. And even if we're not on the telephone, we can always be using a video service. Is that basically what hospital in the home really pivots from?
It's definitely a tool that's used in hospital in the home. And the hospital in the home service is hugely tailored and dependent on the area and the staff that make it up. There are some hospital in the home services which, especially historically, have been exclusively nurse-led. I've got the pleasure of working in a department where it is a dual leadership, you know, between the doctors and the nursing staff. And what that involves is typically the nurses going out to the home as the kind of primary contact, providing the, for example, intravenous antibiotics, doing their observations and either reporting back on the patient or giving a call and allowing either myself or one of the other doctors to speak to the patient. We utilise the HIS clinic where patients can come into us, and absolutely there are still occasions that doctors will come out and see patients in their own homes. It just comes down to capacity and logistical constraints.
Now, some people listening might be a bit surprised that hospital care can be delivered in this external home-based setting. Did you want to talk us through the types of patients who might be suitable for hospital in the home?
For sure. It happens to be pretty varied, which is great. It keeps it interesting for the people involved, I can assure you. But it typically is a mixture of medical and post-operative patients. So in terms of post-operative patients, a lot of drain care management and wound care management, especially more complex wounds. And then in terms of our medical patients, we deal with a lot of infections, in particular cellulitis, osteomyelitis, people recovering post-bacteremias, for example, urosepsis or chest sepsis, and also heart failure patients to be able to provide that either oral or intravenous home diuresis, and anything else that crops up that we can be comfortable will be safe to be managed in the home and that the patients are also on board with.
Yes, having the patients confident in an at-home setting would be crucial, I imagine.
For sure. And part of that onboarding process is quite a bit of education, engaging what their level of comfort is and what support structures they have, be it family locally or other people who'll be at the home, to make sure that it is a safe environment for them to be recovering and to make sure that we're ultimately helping reduce everybody's stress and that this is a positive experience rather than unintentionally contributing to carer stress by trying to institute something that's just not feasible.
Now, David, you have been working for the Mackay Hospital in the Home Clinic. What has the patient feedback been like?
Overwhelmingly positive. I am always delighted to hear how positive the patient's experiences are after they've, you know, while they're on the program and after they've been on the program, in addition to their loved ones. It's interesting the things that people will write in about, everything from, you know, it was great to be at home with the dog to, it was terrific to be home because of being scared of picking up other infections in hospital, for example, and naturally being closest to their loved ones.
Oh, I can just imagine for some of those patients who have such a long stay in hospital, all of the constant beeping and the fluorescent lights, I don't like it as the practitioner, let alone as the patient.
For sure. And I think you've hit something on the head there too. The idea that people can actually truly rest and recover at home without the constant noises, distractions, interruptions, while still having the security of being able to reach out and get that medical and/or nursing support as required.
Does this mean that for the care provided to the patients, it's much more costly to the health system?
On the contrary, it's incredibly economical to provide care in the home setting compared to the traditional bricks and mortar situation that we find in the hospital. Everything from saved cost for, electricity and the physical building, maintenance, servicing, etc., to a very efficient use, as you can imagine, as GPs, very used to doing a lot with a little, and increasingly so in our healthcare system. So we're actually run a very kind of lean, efficient model, and part of that is through a remote patient monitoring component, where patients are able to enter their own observations, providing they're comfortable, into an application, in addition to making use of telephone and video conferencing, in addition to in-person reviews, be it in their home or in our hospital in the home clinic located at the hospital when appropriate.
David, just talk to us a little bit more about remote patient monitoring and inputting information into an app. That must be a little bit daunting for some of the more elderly patients.
I've been pleasantly surprised. I think it is all about the right patient selection, like whenever we're trying to tailor our management. And I think it's about how that option is presented to them and framed. The beauty of our onboarding process is that patients are seen by the hospital and the home nursing team. They're also typically seen by either our nurse practitioner or our doctor, in addition to our terrific administrative support team. And I think because they are given a thorough explanation of what the program is offering, it's phrased as an option rather than a requirement. I think that really helps encourage kind of positive voluntary participation rather than anything that's mandatory or thrust upon them, which I absolutely agree could be anxiety provoking. And because they're actually given the opportunity to have a go themselves prior to ever leaving the hospital, means that they're well supported and set up for success.
And so, what sort of monitoring are the patients actually participating in when they're at home?
The monitoring is absolutely tailored based on their condition, and really rationalized and prioritized to try to get the most out of their time and also the time of the healthcare professionals who are interpreting that information. Typically, what it will involve is their observations in terms of their temperature, blood pressure, heart rate, and oxygen levels, in addition to a survey about their condition and relevant symptoms, including red flag symptoms that are appropriate.
Right. So then, if a patient also has difficulty with any hardware, like a line or a dressing, can they report that to you freely through the app?
They can. Importantly, there is still a telephone number, which I can assure you is heavily utilized, which is great too. So patients can continue to feel connected and safe when receiving their care at home.
That's wonderful news. Now, possibly even better would be an opportunity for GPs to refer directly to hospital in the home so that the patients can avoid the hospital in the first place.
I agree. Again, all about the right patient selection, but I think GPs are terrifically positioned as they know their patients best and what is or isn't normal for them. What I would encourage, and I can include these details, is a direct number to either the doctor, be it the senior medical officer, registrar, or nurse practitioner who's on at the time. I think that mobile number, including that, at least for our local Mackay doctors, could be a helpful way of having them engaged with the service. And perhaps calling, I appreciate we're all very time poor, but in between patients saying, I've got this patient, do you think that they'd be appropriate for hospital in the home? And we're able to facilitate a direct admission onto the program, assuming that the condition is appropriate, that it is palatable to the patient, that there is a safe home environment, as naturally we're very mindful of creating a safe environment both for our staff and for importantly our patients.
Now, David, you're referencing the Mackay Hospital experience because that's where you're working. Do similar services exist in other major centres in North Queensland?
Absolutely. And what I'm finding is that all too often these programs are becoming larger and their utility increasingly recognised because of the significant pressures our health system's facing for inpatient hospital beds. Because patients are still classed as inpatients, they receive all of the same kind of resources and luxuries that you would expect in terms of timely pathology, prioritised imaging, in addition to not just medical and nursing support, but where appropriate, allied health support as well.
This is an incredible service and an incredible shift in healthcare delivery. Have you had any resistance from clinicians?
I think that it's all about developing relationships and developing confidence in the service. I think that when doctors referring into the service are comfortable that their patients will be looked after by a team, which include, importantly, the nursing staff who are very well qualified and very experienced in this space, in addition to them having the backup of the doctors, the medical team, makes a tremendous, it's a great contribution in terms of boosting that confidence. I also think that all we need is for a handful of doctors, for example, community GPs, to have a positive experience with their patients, where their patients have shared how well things went, and for them to have had a timely discharge summary, which is absolutely a priority. We've got 100% discharge summary rate in our department, which is quite an achievement and very different to my experience working in other centres. It goes a long way. I also think that being able to speak on the phone to another doctor to bounce ideas and kind of tailor that management plan and make sure that hospital in the home is the right venue of care, for better want of a term. And often the calls that I do get that are from community GPs are when they're on the fence about, do you think this patient should come to the emergency department? Of which we're often very happy to pick them up directly from the emergency department, not just from the ward themselves. I'm surprised have it's been overwhelmingly positive. And I think that's because they have confidence in the service because of positive both experiences and positive clinical outcomes with their own patients. And then they share those positive experiences with other doctors in the practice. And before you know it, it's well known and the uptake is definitely maximized.
Certainly, as a doctor, when I think of a successful health system, it's a hospital that's completely empty, right? Now, David, we've talked about the importance of hospital in the home or care in the right setting, it's sometimes referred as. We've talked about patients being able to have treatment for very specific and suitable conditions from their own homes, not having to be a patient inside the hospital. So it might be someone with a urinary tract infection that's made them quite unwell, or someone post-operatively who needs their dressing checked but don't need to take up a hospital bed. We've talked about the fact that teams are often mixed with doctors and nurses, nurse practitioners, and allied health practitioners. We've talked about how the patients can monitor themselves with remote patient monitoring equipment and communicate directly back with the team via the phone number, which is very enthusiastically used, but they've also got an app that they can use. We've talked about how well supported it has been by the clinicians involved and how successful it has been from the patient's point of view. And of course, looking at the amount of resources poured into hospital in the home, it still works out as more economical for our community. And that's something we have to keep thinking about. David, what is the next path for hospital in the home? You have some excellent outreach services, don't you?
For sure. So what I'd love to see is hospital in the home increasingly utilised, both by the referrers in the hospital setting in terms of increasingly recognising that this is an appropriate avenue of care for their patients to continue to recover. I think that having more direct referrals from community providers, in particular the local GPs, would be beaut. And there's along with having more patients on the program, there are other kind of programs which are feeding in beautifully to the hospital and the home service. For example, we have what we call the RAS service, which is a residential aged care support service, which supports local retirement homes, being another go-to for, in particular, the nursing staff on the ground for patients that they have concerns about. And there have been multiple occasions where, for example, they've been unable to access the patient's GP, assuming that they have one, which we can appreciate how busy and how heavily utilised and important our local GPs are and how precious that access and time is. So they've reached out to ourselves. We've either been able to send a nurse or have a doctor and nurse go review the patient, for example, increase respiratory rate and a bit of increased work of breathing, been able to listen to their chest, comfortably diagnose that this is a community-acquired pneumonia, provide them with some antibiotics, be it oral or intravenous, and then have them, especially when they are intravenous antibiotics, monitored on the hospital and the home service for a period, for example, a number of days. Then when stepping down to oral antibiotics, having that communication with their regular GP or having them on the RAS service where we're having a daily or, you know, second daily check-in, making sure they're recovering correctly.
That's fantastic. What are some of the other programs that you have, David?
For sure. To try to help reduce preventable hospital admissions, especially emergency department admissions, along with that residential aged care support service, we also have a similar kind of service supporting the watch house for those who are awaiting processing, which can be really helpful. Often they're, you know, musculoskeletal complaints or pain management. The other exciting program that have started locally in Mackay this year is our geriatric evaluation and management in the home context and geriatric evaluation and management and rehabilitation. They tend to have a particularly strong allied health focus, and naturally those in the rehabilitation stream have true rehabilitation goals, which is particularly helpful in my experience in helping those patients who have had a lengthy hospital stay and have be conditioned to help get them not just back in their homes but thriving in their own homes with physiotherapist or occupational therapist input.
They are fantastic services, and I can see how important that is to align that with the work that the GPs and the hospital already deliver. David, what else do we need to know about hospital in the home?
I think just knowing that it exists is the first step. Knowing how to reach out to your local hospital in the home department is the next, although very happy to provide it very, you know, selfishly for Mackay. Just calling through to the hospital to switch and being asked to put through to the hospital in the home department could be a great way to make those connections locally. I do think to giving us feedback if, you know, your patients are having a positive or, you know, in the rare instance that I'm aware of, you know, not so positive feedback would be very helpful for us to be able to continue to make improvements and grow these services. And I think that looking at hospital and the home, not just as an extension of the hospital, but as a bridge between the hospital and the community, more so, is really where our value is, and ideally, you know, will help flourish making those relationships with other local health practitioners.
Oh, it's a no-brainer, isn't it, David? Dr. David Clark, Hospital in the Home Consultant, thank you so much for your time today.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity to connect.
For more information about the Roundup or to share your feedback and ideas for future episodes, visit nqrth.edu.au/roundup-podcast or contact us at nqrth.mackay@jcu.edu.au. We also want to advise that the views and opinions presented in this podcast are those of the speaker only and do not represent the views and opinions of James Cook University, Northern Queensland Regional Training Hubs, or Queensland Health. The content supplied in this podcast is not intended as medical advice and is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Northern Queensland Regional Training Hubs is an initiative of the Australian Government's Integrated Rural Training Pipeline and is facilitated by James Cook University in partnership with public and private hospitals, Queensland Aboriginal and Islander Health Council, health services, Aboriginal community-controlled health organisations, and general practice clinics.